Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
This is The Vault by Access Hollywood.
We're taking you on an epic journey into the heart of Hollywood with iconic interviews and fascinating conversations from the biggest stars in the business.
The Vault opens now.
Hello and welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I am Scott Evans.
And I am Zuri Hall.
And you're listening to The Vault. The Vault by Access Hollywood. And today we're going to be talking about, I guess it's really probably a national holiday by now, huh?
Mm-hmm. I'd say so, yeah.
Right? Joe Bro Day. Now, if you're unfamiliar, that stands for the Jonas Brothers. Mm-hmm. Now, there have been a lot of great bands, some of which have been family bands. Some have come and gone. Some have stayed the test of time. The Jonas Brothers, I would say, seem to be making it happen.
Yeah.
There was a time where it maybe wasn't as anyone would have expected, but they're back.
They're back, baby. And better than ever.
Okay. So tell me this. Do you remember the first time you heard a Jonas Brothers song where you're like, who are these little kids on this program?
Like, is that what you were going to say? Whoa. Oh gosh. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. I don't remember the first time. I just have a general memory of Joe Bro Mania and being sort of adjacent to it, right? Like I remember when their songs would come on the radio. Yeah, like I think I was a little bit older when they first came out. Okay. So I was like, who are these Joe Bro kids everyone's obsessed with? And mind you, not much older. I think like me and Joe are probably the same age or like close to.
Right.
But I probably had just aged out as far as my musical taste. But whenever I heard a song on the radio, it banged, like went hard. So I like
because that's because Zuri Hall was 11 years old listening to Luther Vandross talking about a house is not a home when there. You know what I mean? She's in the living room with a brush. Talk about
I'm an old soul.
It's funny you bring up the Joe Bro Mania because they had. I mean, the fandom was intense, right? Remember, the tickets would sell out like that. I mean, they still do.
Instantaneously.
Instantaneous. Yeah. And followed everywhere they went. I remember when I remember being in the car hearing that. I'm slipping into the love.
Once you start singing the songs, it's like, oh, hell yeah. Jonas Brothers.
See? The Jonas Brothers.
Yes. I love all their new stuff. Like, let me just say, like, I'm a big Jonas Brothers current day.
Oh, you came
advocate.
Back around. You a boomerang. You came back around.
I showed up is what I would clarify.
I have stepped into my fandom.
Yeah.
Okay. So exactly. Wait, so then what was it about it this time around that got you?
I think it felt a little more elevated. Obviously, like the guys are a little more mature. I think I could relate to the music. And I'll say this, who I've always been a fan of is Nick Jonas. He had this kind of moody aura. He seemed like a real musician who was just kind of always casually annoyed that he had to be in a boy band. He just had that energy, right? And it was just in my mind. I have no idea why I thought that. He went solo. Nope, no idea. And I was like, okay, I knew I liked this guy. Like he is a true artist. He's super even and kind of like, not heavy, but I mean, he's Nick. I love him for it. He's stoic. There's a stoicism around him and his artistry.
He's not super unpredictable. It's not like, ooh, I don't know which Nick I'm going to get. You know what I mean? He is consistent in that he's like, he's the mellow.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He's like the cool kid. You know what
I mean? He is.
He's the one that, like, when you take a selfie, he squints his eyes and lowers his lip. Like, you know that. 100%. You know that.
He loves an eye squint, don't he?
You know, and I know so y'all true. Doing it. If you're listening right now, I know you're trying to. You're looking in the rearview mirror. You're looking in the mirror, and you're like, that's the one.
I got the Nick. That's the Nick. And he brings the soul to me. Like, he is the sort of the soul of the group. And when I think about his vocals and, like, out of the three, right? So he's the one who kind of is most likely to take us to church if ever a Joe Bro took anyone to church.
Okay, I can see. Priyanka said the same thing. I can believe what you feel.
I
can
believe what you feel. I'm saying, out of the three of them, first of all, can we just get to the first clip? I can't. Okay, we are kicking things off today. In 2007. All right. Woo! The Joe Bros were already a pretty big deal on Disney. They'd been signed as a group a couple years prior, and they were also pretty family friendly when it came to branding. They were the sons of a pastor, and they were known at the time. Remember the super clean image and the purity rings, the promise rings? Yes, of course. That was a big thing. Yep.
It was Nick a major was 15, thing.
Super major. Nick was 15. Kevin was 20. And Joe was 18. Now, at this point in the band's career, they were starting to explode. They were still very much Disney Channel kids, but their fan base was growing fast. So Access caught up with them while they were doing prep for a concert and asked them about their fan base and their family dynamic, especially as they became more popular. Listen to this.
I think it's just the parents are cool with it too, you know, they're cool with the content that we sing and all that, and you know, I think it's comfortable, it's a good atmosphere for the whole family to come and for all that, and it's just a good, fun, clean show.
Exactly.
That's what we're all about.
And, you know, we've always hoped that we could be role models as well, so I think the parents are, like Nick said, okay with us, you know, okay with us to have their kids go to our shows, and it becomes an event for the little daughter to the teenagers to the parents. They're all there together, they're all coming, and I think that's what's so exciting about it, is I think the time where families go to concerts again is coming back.
So I want to talk about your family. In this business, we see so many people who, you know, getting in trouble, going out and partying, but with the Disney stars especially, that doesn't happen. How do you guys stay grounded?
Stay grounded?
You know, for us, I think we have great parents. Keep us grounded. And also, I think you'll never see us walking out of the club or, you know, partying or something. I think
Nick is 15. You know,
and also I think it comes down to just having each other there on the road, you know, we always feel that it helps when, you know, we're going through a hard time that we have two other guys there to be there for us at all times, and our parents are great, and people around us that we surround ourselves with are just a good influence and all that, and, you know, we try to keep it like that, just, you know, a big, happy family group of people, and it's pretty cool, and it's gonna be good.
And we've always grown up with our family saying, even if you're at the top, live like you're at the bottom. And we've grown up living by that and, you know, saying that to ourselves every single day and, you know, like I said, living by it. So it's really amazing what that saying that my dad has, you know, branded into us, essentially, has done for us.
The club, Nick is 15. Which you're not gonna see.
He's got a security ring. Ain't gonna be no clubs.
Right. Now, you may not see Nick at the club, but Joe was like, but you gonna see me. I'm gonna be at the club.
Exactly. Honestly, when you think about that age difference, like at a certain point in your 30s, 40s, whatever, I think the age difference means less. 15 and 20 in one group are two very different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Night and day. One just got to high school. The other one is turning up on a college campus in a perfect world, probably illegally drinking somewhere and wondering if they're going to make it to class in the morning.
Consider this, that at 15 years old, you're a part of a band that is about to be bigger than any other band of the time. You're about to, like, catapult into superstardom. So much so that every choice you make, personal, business, whatever, is under a microscope. I remember watching interviews and it was like, we have made this choice for us. We don't have to talk about it in every single interview. this doesn't have to be the hinge of which,
right?
Yeah, all of our interactions swing. It's also very interesting to hear, even at 15 years old, Nick Jonas sounds like he is a exhausted man.
Man, he is tired. He's got to pick the kids up from school after this.
You know, they got all these activities. The kids got all these activities.
They're running me ragged. My baby wants a new minivan. Trying to make ends meet.
Oh, I love him. I love him.
Oh, but my gosh. Just... Nick has been tired since 1999.
Poor man.
I love
him. He's been working hard. He's been working hard.
He has. I love people. Those are my favorite people. Like the slightly moody, stoic kind of like, what's he thinking? Is he having fun? Does he hate all of us? I'm into it.
Yeah, so, exactly. Into it.
And he's artistic, so it's worth the trade-off.
At least he's talented. So, right? You know what I mean?
Nick Jonas, we love you. We love all the Joe Bros.
Indeed.
And to your point about that sort of catapulting to stardom, what was really kind of cool to witness was the fact that all of these kids were catapulting out of the same quote-unquote class, right? So like kind of before our time technically, but we were late teenagers when they rose to super mainstream prominence. It was like the Mickey Mouse Club, and it was Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Ryan Gosling, all of these people.
Yep.
And then there was also that same sort of school or class vibe with the Disney stars, right? All around the same time. Demi Lovato, you had Miley Cyrus, Selena Gomez, and then you also had the Jonas Brothers. So to see them all not just catapult to fame, but also sustain it.
It's wild.
It's wild.
You know what?
It's so wild.
I think, what do you say we take a break?
I was hoping, because it's too wild. I got to process it. I got to sit with this for a minute.
Me too. We'll see you on the other side.
Okay.
Okay, so moving forward, what do you say we go, I mean, just a little bit ahead, 2008. So between 2007 and 2008, they exploded. The Jonas Brothers were like, whole next level experience. We're talking fame, we're talking movies, we're talking records, we're talking tours, t-shirts. That's how I knew. You could walk around and someone would have a Jonas Brother or the Jonas Brothers on a t-shirt. And then they had teams. It was like you picked your favorite Joe Bro.
Yeah.
And like you were like hardcore
repping
for them. So they dropped their self-titled second album on August 7th, 2007. And from that one, you had hits like, what was it, SOS, When You Look Me in the Eyes, Hold On was even, right? I mean, arguably, maybe even the one. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to get an argument with you or the Jonas Brothers fans. But in 2008, they followed it up with their third album, A Little Bit Longer, that summer, and had been appearing on Hannah Montana and were legit early social superstars with their YouTube channel. Remember the vlogs? Right?
And that was as vlog culture was becoming a thing. So for them to tap into that so quickly, it's kind of cool because it makes you more accessible to your fans in a way that we didn't really have when we were like peak young kid fandom or teen fandom.
Yeah, you had to wait for like one of those.
The behind the scenes.
Right.
To word up.
Exactly. Their dating lives was, I mean, something to behold. So you had Nick, who had already been linked to both Miley and Selena Gomez at this time. Joe and AJ was a real big situation. But then he had moved on to Taylor Swift. Kevin had already met his future wife, Danielle. And I mean, they were probably already married. Little do we know.
Right.
Kevin knew early on. He was like, this is my wife. This is my woman. And we're going to have a family. Okay, so let's get back to the clip for a second. So Jonas Brothers' fame was at an all-time high, right? We got that. But despite all of the band's success, they never really lost sight of their fans. Like, that was always the main priority, particularly when it came to their concerts. If you've ever been to a Jonas Brothers concert, you know that there is a possibility at any point one of the brothers could come down, sit next to you, and just start singing. It was like the thing to do. So during one of the band's first tours, there were a lot of issues, though, with scalpers. Remember, it was like actually a headline. People were buying blocks of tickets and then reselling them for crazy Michael Jackson prices, right?
Right. Yeah.
So to combat that, the Jonas Brothers made sections of each concert exclusively available at ticket booths. So Access sat down with them at this point and were like, what's going on with this experiment and why it was so important to them? Here's what they said back.
Something else that's very interesting in this day of the internet world, buying tickets online and so forth, why do it at the box office?
Well, we tried to...
Go ahead, John, sorry.
No, I see. You probably said that as well. We tried to, like, weed out the ticket scalpers, like, from our last tour. We had such an issue with it. So many people got, you know, tickets that weren't even fans. They were just trying to sell the tickets for higher prices, that we wanted to somehow make that a better... you know, a better way to do it. So we found a way that we were able to, you know, say the first 20 rows at each venue will be sold at the box office exclusively in like a lottery system where like they'll all be given a ticket and they'll be calling, you know, say 1 through 2,000, you know, and giving, okay, starting at 1,012 and higher is when they start selling tickets and then they go all the way back to the beginning. So that it works out really well for us because I think we want to be able to offer our, the true fans that able to see us in concert and see, be able to get the tickets at the, you know, the appropriate prices that we try to set.
And you guys are the hottest ticket in town, essentially.
Where are you?
Overwhelming, not overwhelming. I've kind of come to terms with it.
Overwhelming for sure, okay, in a sense, and exciting. Just we want to put on a great show, and the fact that we have the fans to be able to go to the show to see it is exciting for us. And the fact that there's means, I think this is our first time that we've had a promoter and an on sale that, you know, hard tickets have been, you know, promoted and sold. And so we're really excited to see what happens at noon here in Los Angeles.
I love the commitment to making sure that their fans can show up at a reasonable price, especially considering the age bracket, right? That they would go above and beyond to handle that and take care of that, because that is certainly outside of the realm of what is a requirement or expected of them.
Meanwhile, the moms are like, "Well, you mean to tell me I got to go down to the Staples Center twice?" You know what I mean? Like, and wait in line?
You got to do, mama. Exactly.
Yeah. Mom, we want these tickets. You said you'd get them for us. So speaking of the Jonas Brothers fans, we actually have a clip from a ride-along with the band that we did in 2009. So now, when I say a ride-along, what this usually means is literally Access Hollywood is in the car or van or bus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With said celebrity, socialite,
right,
person of note, in an intimate moment of candor. Mm-hmm. So this was on the way to a surprise concert that the band announced on Twitter earlier that day. And towards the end of the interview, we drove up to the venue. And what you're going to hear are the bodies of fans. The sounds that they make is intense. Listen to this.
So right now we're on our way to Irving Plaza, Plaza.
Yes, we're going to Irving Plaza to have a show, actually a surprise show for some fans. We kind of threw it up today, actually. We said, hey guys, why don't we put up a concert right now? Mm-hmm. And as you can tell, we have a police escort there right now. That's why you hear the sirens. We're moving through a car back and forth, but it's worth it. It's going to be fun.
So that's why it's not really
it's
TV
not very very still or your typical piece, but no, this is you know, this is what we do when we come to New York. We want to try to do something fun for the fans. We have an album coming out, you know, so we want to do something special. It's been really great.
Before you answer that question,
Wow. Yeah. Oh Lord.
Are we getting out here?
Might want to ask Victor.
All right, you guys, that was a fun interview.
Thank you. Sorry it was so quick.
That was great.
Something new for you guys.
Do you guys want to answer a couple more questions on camera now that we have a little bit of like stillness? Let's just get a couple of the questions that were a little shaky out of the way. And then we'll go ask.
Okay.
It's a little quiet.
That was going to be an interesting thing.
Still
all right. So what do you see when you see your fans like this? I mean, it's still sort of cool to be wanted. 2 years ago, I mean, 2 years is a long time. And
I think for us, being able to see these amazing fans still so impactful throughout the years, you know, and still huge fans, it's a really great feeling. You know, these are the best fans in the world. We love them to death.
Mm-hmm. And so if you could sum it up, what has sort of been the best experience of the last couple of years and still enjoying every moment of it and still feel like you guys are growing?
I think absolutely. I think for us, you know, the Grammys was a huge one. The release of the last record was amazing. But I think we're just really gearing up for this new tour and this new album. We're very excited about it all. We can't wait.
Right. What keeps you kind of energized and sort of keep going? I mean,
I think, you know, when you have the fans around you like this and you have these moments where you really have to kind of pinch yourself, it is a wake-up call in and of itself, and it's just kind of like you're ready to go, you know, you're ready to go live your dream. And a lot of Red Bull 2 is involved.
here's the best part of that interview for me. You have probably close to 500 girls, kids, standing there as the Jonas Brothers vehicle pulls up. They get ready to get out of the car. You confirm that it is indeed the Jonas Brothers because you can see one of them, right? Mm-hmm. They close the door and do a second part of the interview. The screams sustain. So you're just the standing there screaming time. At a car.
Yelling.
Just yelling at a car.
The door shut.
Shut. Please just
and
see
mind
me.
You, this was a gathering of maniacal screaming where it had only been announced a few hours before they showed up. So these, right. This wasn't like, oh, I've been waiting for this for 17 months. I'm going to scream till my lungs go out because I've been excited. I just got the memo 13 today. Minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And convinced my mama to take me downtown. Not exactly. Even done with the homework.
Not even done with the homework. Told my crazy. Mama I was.
Wasn't. But you wasn't done. She knew mm-hmm. it too, but she was a she real knew. One. So she took you anyway. She dropped you off.
She dropped you off.
She probably standing there right with you, but mad, annoyed, exhausted.
Why are you here shouting in a car? This is what you really wanted to come do? You better get an A in this class. You better get an A in this class. That's all I got to say.
Now, as most people know, in 2011, the Jonas Brothers took a hiatus. They wanted to work on their personal projects, and much to the disappointment of fans, they broke up in 2013.
Yeah.
Right? But that's kind of the writing's always on the wall. When bands say, oh, we're just taking a break to work on solo projects, I'm like, cool. So this is the end of it all.
Yeah. So who did it?
Yeah. Whose fault is this? Who wanted to go solo? Are we blaming Nick?
It was Nick. No, because I'm pretty sure you have asked them. I know I have asked them. When they're in a group, they all kind of just look at Nick and he's like, yes.
Yeah.
I am him.
He knows.
She was me.
She was me. If he felt like, you know, initially he was like solo vibes and then mm-hmm. they decided to do a group, I could understand that he might have the itching to just kind of like do what he wants creatively for a little while. So I don't knock that. And Spoiler alert, think they found their way back to each other.
Exactly. And at that time, when you're young and want to be a creator and establish your own sound and that contradicts or conflicts with the sound of your brothers, perhaps, you know, then it's like, okay, well, why don't we just go do some, you know, solo projects? And then when they came back together, they were actually just a better group.
100%.
You know what I mean?
That's a really good point, actually, that you bring up, because like what 18-year-old, 20-year-old, 21-year-old isn't experimenting, isn't wanting to find themselves, isn't marching to the beat of their own drum. Their family's like, what the hell is going on with Zuri right now? What is Scott out there doing? I don't even know. Like, we're just exploring and figuring out who we are. But when you're attached to two other humans and the band is its own thing and its own identity, it's so hard to have that freedom to explore. So I completely understand him wanting, any of them wanting to kind of step out on their own just to figure out who they are, not just privately, but in this sense, public facing and musically in a public way.
And had they not ever broken up, we would have never had, you got me in chains for your love. Now I want to change.
Ooh, you know all the hits.
And we also wouldn't have Kate Bonnie Ocean. That's all. That's
right. That was DNCE, right? Yeah, That's Joe. So, right. They had the momentary breakup in 2013, went and found themselves. Mm-hmm. During this time away, though, each member of the band grew. They took time to focus on their solo careers. Nick, you know, we talked about him crushing it. He had his solo album like 15 seconds after he left the group.
Yes.
That was in 2014. They had Jealous, Chains, and then he met his wifey, Priyanka Chopra, in 2018. Joe struggled a little bit with his music initially, but eventually found his footing with his band DNCE and had several hits, and then in 2016 met his future wife, Game of Thrones star Sophie Turner, and Kevin focused on his family life. He was the first one to get wiped up, remember? He was like, he knew, because I remember I was watching some behind the scenes footage of them, and it was a clip of Kevin being super excited because he had just met a girl, and it was Danielle. Mm-hmm. And at the time, his brother's like, bro, just text her, like, oh, Kevin's being so like weird and awkward and like doesn't know what to say. So he was like in love.
In
from
love.
Day one.
Still.
At like peak fame. Yes, as he should be.
Yeah. I guess that's true. I said it like, I mean,
it's
you know.
Still in love, if you can believe it. They got married and they still like each other. Crazy. In love with his wife. Don't make no sense. Oh, man, no
couple kids and everything, huh?
Kids these days, I'll tell you. So he married Danielle, who he still loves, in 2009. And by 2014, they'd had their first daughter, and then they welcomed a second daughter in 2016. But the band wasn't done yet. They got the band back together, y'all. Hey. 2019, baby, okay? They dropped the song Sucker. It went hard. It was March 1st, and it became the band's number one track of all time. It sold 88,000 copies in the first week, and became the first number one song by a boy band on the Billboard Hot 100 since 2003, which is crazy. The song was everywhere. I actually got the chance to sit down with the band over Zoom in March of this year, and I asked them what it's been like over the last few years, and this is what they told me. Well, first of all, 2 years back together now. It's been 2 years since you announced that you were getting the band back together. So what's different this time around? Obviously, we've watched you guys. We've loved your music for so many years. How are you switching it up on us these days?
We are switching it up by being in the midst of a global pandemic and not being able to spend any time together. You know, it's been obviously a crazy year for everybody, and we're navigating it as a family best we can, but also as bandmates, and that's by just staying as kind of close contact as we can and in the various ways that we do so, and also a few rare you know, occasions when we've been able to see each other in person, which has been really nice.
Yeah. As brothers and bandmates, is it safe to say you're stronger than ever?
Recently, with Nick releasing this project and you know, Spaceman, and then being able to do that and us have the ability to support it and be excited about it, and then knowing where, you know, that the band is obviously still together, still doing its thing, is exciting and just shows kind of like all the different sides of everything we can do, which is really cool.
So what's different, you guys? Well, there's a pandemic.
Right.
Yep. Got that.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for breaking that down for me.
Love I'm you, Nick.
In it with
with
the rest of the world.
The rest of the world.
Tell me something I don't know, buddy. Appreciate that. You gotta love him. Again, these are my favorite types of people. I'm just
agreed.
Like, I don't mind a tough time. I kind of take some sort of twisted joy or pleasure out of it. So maybe that's the thing me and my therapist need to unpack, but I'm into it.
Here's what I'll say. The Jonas Brothers are not slowing down anytime soon. And I bet they will go down in history as one of the great boy bands of all time. We know they'll stick around for years to come. We know there's more projects. I would even guess that maybe another theater experience. You remember they were good for that theater concert. You couldn't make it to the venue. You can make it to the theater.
And but don't forget, you can watch their documentary on Amazon Prime, Chasing Happiness. It's all about them getting the band back together.
See? Told you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be another one of those, too. Maybe.
Yeah, let's go, Joe Bros.
So, listen, I'm just going to say this to you, Zuri Hall.
Okay.
It's been real.
Yeah.
And this has been fun. I dare I say even real fun. You all are listening to The Vault by Access Hollywood.
Yep.
I'm Scott.
I'm Zuri.
And you should subscribe everywhere you listen to podcasts, be it Apple, Spotify, literally everywhere.
Everywhere.
We'll see y'all on the next one.
Ta-da.
The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we open up that vault again for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.